Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another lesson from CEDH on critiquing your win conditions. CEDH is a metagame within the Commander format that sits at one extreme, with highly consistent, highly efficient decks. Not all cards are equally powerful in all formats, or even in all metagames, but there are lessons to be learned from how people are brewing with the most powerful cards available in the game. One of the big differences between CEDH and other games of Commander is the importance placed on the win conditions which your deck will use to win the game. In CEDH, win conditions often need to be good enough to win on the spot, as passing the turn to the next player can sometimes mean you're going to lose the game. In our last episode, we talked about the stages of the game. Ready, set, go. Today, we're going to focus on going for it, with a brief rundown on how to analyze your win conditions and determine if they're appropriate for the table you're going to be sitting down at. Now, to be clear, not every deck needs a definitive A plus B windmill slam game-ending win condition. In general, the more casual your deck, the less you need a dedicated win condition. Paper cuts win conditions tend to be more and more common as decks become more casual. This comes from the old phrase, death by a thousand paper cuts. Decks that lack a distinct win condition, but instead are going to try to win by amassing and overwhelming opponents with smaller threats. These decks tend to blur the line between setup and going for it in the ready, set, go model, which can sometimes make identifying the critical turn more difficult. Now, when I say death by a thousand paper cuts, many players' minds immediately go to aristocrats' decks, decks that focus on draining the opponents down slowly with cards like Blood Artist and Zulaport Cutthroat. But most decks which rely on creature beats over several turns while in an advantageous position also use this as their default sort of win condition. Some decks with access to big overrun type effects, like Craterhoof Behemoth in green, will have a more definitive capstone to put on their game plan. But it's just as valid for the zombie deck that slowly builds up a horde to incrementally tick down people's life totals as they beat away with an unkillable swarm of zombies. This back and forth between the person who is going for it and the players who are still getting set up leads to the unique stop-and-go phenomenon that we really only see in multiplayer Magic, where one player has the board state to start pressuring opponents from an advantageous position, and the other players who are still in the setup phase are looking to try to knock that leader out of the go-for-it stage and get themselves more time to reach that go-for-it stage themselves. In general, even with decks that are winning with a paper cuts strategy, they have a strategy to win the game. And I want to try to urge as many players as possible to make sure your decks have a way to win the game. Many players find the stalemate when no one can break through to actually end the game to be a very unfun stage of the game, and the shorter this stalemate period is, often the better it is for the game as a whole. So as we start talking about ways to win the game, I'm first going to plug Commander Spellbook, a repository of combos who recently integrated into EDHREC.com. If on EDHREC.com you go to Cards and then scroll over to Combos, you can search for combos by color identity, by cards in the combo, by mana needed, etc., etc. Commander Spellbook notes the following components of a combo. First, the required cards needed to complete the combo. Then the card's color identity that are in the combo itself, any prerequisite setup that needs to be done before you can execute the combo, the steps needed to complete that combo, and then the results of the combo itself. Prolific CDH brewer Cobblepot, a member of the Lab Maniacs and the Mind Sculptors, has also talked about win conditions in terms of their surface area in an attempt to identify how difficult they are for your opponents to interact with. Casting a spell can be interacted with on the stack with a counterspell, for example. A creature in play with an ability that is needed for the combo can be interacted with by removing the creature, etc., etc., etc. This also leads into the concept of the clock of a win condition. How long will it take before you can end the game? How many times does each opponent get to untap to respond to your win condition? In general, the higher your setup requirements are, the more casual table-friendly your win condition is. The greater the surface area your opponents get to interact with your win condition, the more it will be accepted at casual tables. The longer the clock you present to your opponents, that increases the surface area, the more chances they get to draw an answer to the threats that you're playing. Even a Voltron deck that starts swinging with a big, beefy commander early on will still likely take multiple combat steps to actually win the game against multiple opponents. Tuning your win conditions to your metagame and playgroup often involves adjusting the surface area you present to your opponents. One issue that extremely casual playgroups sometimes run into is that they completely eschew interaction altogether, which often means that very casual playgroups may only be equipped to handle win conditions through combat damage. So this is something to consider if you're sitting down to play with very casual playgroups. The first step to critiquing your win conditions is to look at the setup cost. What cards will you need to have access to? How much mana will you need to pay to access the effects you need from those cards? Consider also the cards you'll need beyond the strict win conditions themselves. While Grey Merchant of Asphodel can certainly win the game, you'll often need more permanents with more black mana pips on the table to actually make it a surefire win. And even Craterhoof Behemoth needs at least a few creatures on the battlefield to make sure it'll finish off your opponents. Looking at the mana cost needed to pull off this win condition is often going to be a good way to estimate the minimum critical turn of your deck. Now, the actual critical turn is going to be driven not just by this mana cost, but it will be decreased towards this theoretical minimum based on how consistently you can access the components of your win condition. The more card draw and more tutors you put into your deck will help you drive down the critical turn towards the minimum, whereas going lighter on these elements will often mean raising it above that minimum threshold. If your deck is going to have a dedicated win condition, you want to make sure you're familiar with how those steps of that win condition work, so it's not a bad idea to goldfish your way through the steps of winning the game with them. Playing through the steps you will take to win the game will also enable you to see the surface area of your win condition that opponents will have the ability to interact with, and help you to estimate the clock on that win condition. At each step along the way, think about how someone could stop this win condition. Would they need counterspells? Some type of removal spells? Even fogs to stop combat damage could make a difference. Effects which are more prominent in your metagame and playgroup are going to be the ones with the greatest potential to impact on your deck's win conditions. No ways to protect your win condition. In our episode on Ready, Set, Go, we described the go part of the game as when you're trading down on resources like cards in hand to wind the clock down that your opponents will have to respond to your attempt to win the game. This is likely where you're going to be running offensive counterspells to protect your game-winning spell, or protection-granting effects like Lightning Greaves to give your Voltron Commander Shroud. You should also know the end state of your win condition. There are really very few cards in the format which actually say win the game on them. Damage doesn't always result in winning the game, but it often can. Goldfishing out your win conditions will really help you get a better sense of when your setup is complete and when you're really ready to go for it. For example, I'm currently brewing a deck around Malcolm Keen-Eyed Navigator and Kedis Emberclaw Familiar, and trying to understand when I will have the mana I need to really go for it, to be able to both tutor for, cast, and activate Glinthorn Buccaneer as my win condition. That's something that takes practice, and I've been goldfishing the decks many, many times to get a good feel for when the deck is really ready to go for it. Some win conditions don't directly win the game themselves, but leave you so far ahead that you are virtually guaranteed to win. Ad nauseum is this in a CDH game. Having 20 more cards in your hand than each opponent probably means you're going to be able to put together a win and be able to protect it. Now, a slightly more advanced topic, and one we'll need to cover in greater detail in a future episode, will be on layering and variant win conditions. Layered win conditions are when you have cards which can be part of multiple win conditions, or are just good in other situations in your deck. For example, decks that are playing with the recently printed Conspicuous Snoop as part of a win condition often rely on stacking the top of their deck with Kiki Jiki and other goblins in order to score a win. But the goblin tutors that allow this also layer nicely with Dockside Extortionist to go for infinite mana if the plan A of winning with Conspicuous Snoop it isn't coming together or is stopped in other ways. It also will often layer in effects like Felidar Guardian as another way to win the game with Kiki Jiki if Conspicuous Snoop is stopped. Variant win conditions are win conditions that are similar in setup and in practice with some minor differences, often in terms of cost or specific effects and wording printed on the card. Decimator of the Provinces can be much cheaper to cast than Craterhoof Behemoth, but can often achieve the same effect of ending the game with your horde of creatures. Veto, Thorn of the Dusk Rose, does a very nice impression of Sanguine Bond to allow you to win the game in combination with Exquisite Blood. Both variant and layered win conditions add a lot of extra consistency to your deck, which do make it more optimized and may make the deck less friendly to casual tables. Keep an eye on this podcast because over the next few weeks we're going to start delving into different win conditions, both from CEDH and ones that are more appropriate for more casual tables. Be sure to tell us what win conditions you are interested in hearing about or ones you just want to share. Leave us a comment on YouTube, you can add us on Twitter where we are GemstoneMineMTG, or you can send us an email where we are GemstoneMinePodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, this is Gemstone Mine, take care. You can reach the crew from Gemstone Mine on Twitter at GemstoneMineMTG or send us an email at GemstoneMinePodcast@gmail.com. On YouTube, we're Gemstone Mine Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell.